Let us pray together, shall we? O Lord, who shall abide in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? The one who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from the heart. May it be so, O Lord, with those of us who have come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Send forth your Spirit, and let us be very glad we have come to the house of the Lord this day. Amen. Stand.
Jesus, Lord, thy God has shown thee.
Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes shall stumble and fall.
Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the Lord's temple.
The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and will set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent. With shouts of joy, I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart said, seek the Lord's face. Your face, O Lord, I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother should forsake me, the Lord would take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? In this hour, O Lord, we, as a church and as a congregation, turn our thoughts to you in prayer, and we lift up our hearts to your throne of grace. We give you thanks for this church, for all of its many ministries and activities and worship opportunities. We give you thanks for all the wonderful people that we know and are coming to know. We give you thanks for giving us the ability to see Jesus in and through our church membership. We are grateful for today, for this is the day that you've made, and we've come to rejoice and to be very glad in it. Thank you, O Lord, for churches everywhere, in their own way and in their own style. Congregations are lifting praises to you all over the world on this, the Lord's Day. Thank you for this great force of goodness which churches provide to a culture and to cultures throughout the world that are simply wallowing in darkness and falling all over themselves because they do not have light, the light of the Christ, to guide them in the ways towards salvation. So empower this church and churches everywhere that we can indeed be a great force for goodness throughout the world. Yes, Lord, you have chosen your church to be the instrument of salvation for the world. And the church is none other than the body of Christ. So bless us all as we partakers of and members of the body of Christ witness with the beauty of Christ's light through us. Lord, we confess at times we've not been a good church. At times we've not been good people. At times we simply have dropped the ball. But thank you for letting us recognize when that happens. And thank you for letting us sort out our lives. And with your help, find our way once again. Lord, we give you thanks for the church season known as Lent. For this is a specific time for self-examination, for repentance, and for accepting the forgiveness which comes only from you. So help us in our Lenten periods of fasting and repentance. Help us clear the decks so that we can, in time, celebrate Easter once again. The triumph, your triumph, O God, over evil in every form. Dear Lord, there are many that we are remembering in our prayers. Those well known and closest to us who are stricken with a deadly disease, we ask your special blessings upon them and their families. We ask you to be with those who are recovering from illness. We ask you, O Lord, to be with those especially who are bereaved and carry the heavy weight of having lost through death or through separation those whom they love and care dearly about. Dear Lord, we ask your continued grace upon the brokenness of this world. Continue to be with this country as it runs through its election cycle. Continue to bless all of us that we may do our civic privilege and duty and vote in these elections in front of us. And bless, O Lord, the process of democracy and a representative government. Help us exercise that government to the greatest of our abilities. And thank you for bestowing on this great country opportunities which are breathtaking and which many of the in the world would give everything to be a part of. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this country and all of its blessings. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory. so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief and Mary pay, the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Heart was the blood of wine. Glory to his name.
Amen. At this time, I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something I want to show you and to talk with you about. Would you come? I'm delighted to see you both today. You are part of our extended church. You don't live here, but you're our members, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. And you helped us this morning. Thank you. We appreciate it. And how are you? Doing fine? Good. I have something to show you. Look at these beautiful birds. Do you know what kind of birds they are?
That's an eagle.
Yes. This is an eagle. It's one we often see. It's called a bald eagle. But it's not bald. See that? What's it got on there? What color is it? Oh, they're feathers. What color is it?
White.
That's right. And the word bald, like what we use for the bald eagle, it comes from an old English word which means white. Now, what is that rascal there? What in the world? Isn't it pretty? It's big, isn't it? Do you know how big these eagles' wings can be? Tommy, how tall are you? Stand up just a minute, please. Now, that gentleman there, Mr. Thompson, he's 6'2" tall. That's pretty tall, isn't it? Do you know that these eagles' wingspan can be taller than Mr. Thompson? 7 feet? That's big, isn't it? Thank you, sir.
That is big.
That's a big bird, isn't it? Yes. Well, now, I won't keep you in suspense anymore. This is a golden eagle. Isn't it beautiful? Look at the different shades of gold on its back. Now, they're both called eagles, but they're not part of the same family.
this bald eagle is actually part of the fishhawk family. And in front of my house, there's a big lake. And just out of nowhere, I hear, or all of us hear, a big splat. And we look at the lake, and what do we see? But a cousin of it, actually, an osprey is a fishhawk. And there's a great big bird flapping to get out of the water. And you know what he's got in his talons or his claws?
Fish.
A fish. He's just got a cold cut for lunch. Yeah. So this is a hawk, and it really eats fish most of the time. But this one is different. This one eats rodents. This one eats fish, and this one eats rats and mice. And if it can find a squirrel, it might get a squirrel. So it keeps out of our pests out of the way, okay? So I wanted to show you the two, that both are very interesting birds, but I really wanted to show you not just who they are. And I'm going to leave these here, so if you'd like to see them, you're welcome to. But these are photographs from a friend of mine with whom I play tennis. He has a magnificent camera with a huge lens on it. He puts on the end of it, and he brought these birds up almost to where he could pet them. But I wouldn't want to pet either one of them. Look at those beaks. Look at that. Isn't that something? He might lose part of his hand, right? But he is an artist, and they're beautiful. And so we thank God for the beauty of the birds, but we also thank my friend for his talent of taking pictures. And God has given to all of us talents. Can we and will we use them? Oh, yes. For this is another way of glorifying God. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us talents such as photography. Thank you, O Lord, for making the different kinds of birds that fly in the heavens over our heads. They are beautiful, and for giving them specific things to eat. Bless us, O Lord, and let us recognize that you give us talents, photography, particular things we like to do, and help us always make the very best of them and glorify your name. Amen. And thank you so much for coming up. We are dismissed. The scripture for this morning's sermon is taken from two places of the New Testament. First of all, from St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and then from Luke's gospel. So Philippians 3:17 through 4, verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. And then from Luke's gospel, from chapter number 13, beginning with verse 31 through 35, hear these words. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen. And here in these readings, let us bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Jesus is continuing his ministry along the countryside of Judea. Everywhere he walks, there are crowds of people that follow him. And the church, as it presents scriptures for us, to help us observe a holy Lent, has collectively selected the Philippians as well as Luke's passage as the New Testament scriptures. Jesus is being warned now as he walks along. You better get out of here. Notice there are some Pharisees that warn him. And we've been taught that the Pharisees are the ones that oppose Jesus. Yes, that's true. But there are some Pharisees that don't go along with all the rest of them. Now, when we think about that, we find that to be accurate, because let's think of ourselves here. We're not going to agree on everything, are we? It would be very dull around here if we did. Now, wouldn't it? Furthermore, we would never learn much from anyone around us. if we didn't ask questions, if we didn't hear others' opinions, thoughts, but yet we're all together as a member of the body of Christ, sitting in the same room, even though we're diverse in lots of different ways. Why, as I look across, I see there are men out there. There are women out there. There are men out there with some with hair and some with not. You know what I'm saying? And there are women out there, and some have different colored outfits on. So we're diverse. And I want to get that across, because the Pharisees of Jesus' day were diverse as well. As a matter of fact, scholars over the centuries have tried to fractionate the different groups of Pharisees. And I found a perfectly fascinating description of that whole bunch of Pharisees who looked to obey the letter of the law. Now, the Sadducees looked for right kind of worship in the temple. Pharisees were ethical people who wanted to obey every bit of the law. Okay. William Barclay, a Scottish scholar and a tremendous person in teaching preachers to preach, he found through all of these ancient sources that there were seven different groups of Pharisees. And as I read them and as I studied them, I said, you know, there are that many kind of Christians too. Because you can look around us, look inside of us, and we can say, well, today I'm this kind of Christian. Tomorrow I'm that kind of Christian. Or my neighbor is the other kind of Christian. So listen, you might want to jot these down if you got a pencil and paper handy. First of all, they were shoulder Pharisees. Now, the shoulder Pharisees are the ones that like to show and tell. Look at what I've done today for the church, or for them it'd be for the temple. The Pharisees. Now, this is how good a Pharisee I am. I've done this, 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 and this. Aren't I proud of myself? Isn't that wonderful? These are the shoulder Pharisees. The second kind, in the phrase of Barclay, it's wait a little while Pharisees. I call them the Scarlet O'Hara Pharisees. You know, never do today what you can think about tomorrow. And her phrase was, I'll think about, or I'll do that tomorrow. That's our wait a little while Pharisees. The third one is interesting. That's the bruised and bleeding Pharisees. There were some Pharisees that just could not look at a woman. No way. And furthermore, if they thought there was a woman coming, they would cover their eyes, keep on walking, and then bump into something. And they were the bruised and bleeding ones. Look at the bruise I got when I just couldn't bear looking at that woman I knew was coming. And I hit the wall, walking right into it. Now look at my bruise. Isn't that something? Well, you can easily transfer that to Christians too. Another one, the fourth one, is the humpbacked Pharisee. These are the ones that are bent double like this all the time. They are showing their humility before God. They're just walking around, oh, I'm so humble. So these are the humpbacked. And then there are Pharisees that are always balancing. I've done this thing good today. Oh, here's another one. And I've done this thing bad today. Oh my, I've got to have a balance now. I've got to do three more good things before I can go to bed tonight. They're the reckoning or balancing the account. Another one, the sixth one, is the fearing Pharisee. They're afraid of God. And their religion does not help them. Their religion hurts them because they get a message of fear. I'm in trouble. God's going to get me. I better run. And then finally, there's the God-loving Pharisee who patterns his life after that of Abraham, who loved God, who walked with God, and lived by faith and love. I dare say we can easily describe Christians, maybe some of us in this room, in the same way. The point being is they and we have all kinds of different takes or understanding on what it meant to be a good Jew, a good Pharisee, and what for us it means to be a good Christian or a good Methodist. What kind are you and I? Are we the God-loving Pharisee or Christian? We simply live by faith. St. Augustine, and also repeated by Martin Luther. Now, this was a question, a favorite question of one of my professors in seminary. What does Augustine's and Luther's phrase mean by love God and do what you please? Now think about that. What does it mean to love God and do what you please? Work on that between naps this afternoon. It will be a very interesting sort of intellectual exercise for us. The point now in the scripture is that the number six or seven kind of Pharisee, the one that loved God and lived by faith, that Pharisee came to Jesus and said, "You need to get out of here. Herod's after you." And so he looked at the Pharisee or Pharisees and said, "You go tell that fox. I got work to do. I got to be here today and there tomorrow, and the third day my work is finished." Now, that kind of language would have gotten to Herod that fast. You did not call an ancient monarch a fox. You didn't call him anything but Lord and Master. And to call him a fox did not have a good reputation in that day, and not much better one in our day. A fox is understood as sly and devious. A fox is also understood as destructive. I've told you, I know that our neighbor has some hens, and started out six hens, beautiful, rusty colored, and they are fantastic layers. We buy eggs from the little girl, the six-year-old, and those hens are most interesting. If they think you've got food, they will charge and get you. And you better be prepared to shoo them away or give them food. And if you give them food, that's over. They'll see you and they'll run for you every time. But you know, there's only three of them now. What happened? Yeah, we got foxes out there. It changed from six to five to four. And one of the hens, unfortunately, took a liking, that is to say, a liking to peck the little six-year-old girl, and she had to be given away. And somebody saw the ad, and bang, that hen was taken immediately. Now there are three. We see foxes on a regular basis, and yes, they are very destructive. But something else that was thought of as a fox in that day, and sometimes in our day, foxes are worthless. So, Jesus calls the reigning monarch, Herod, a fox. And that's going to get back to Herod. What's Jesus doing? He's taunting him. He has no respect whatsoever. Now, this is something we need to keep in mind. We are members, we are citizens of heaven. We don't belong down here. We're here only for a specific time. And we are to change everything around us for use by the heavenly host. And this, unfortunately, is where we sometimes get in trouble as members of the heavenly city. We want it both ways. We want a foot in heaven and another foot on the earth. Yes, we have to deal with earthly matters, but we're caught. Part of us is here. Part of us is there. And how do we cope? Jesus ran into this because he'd been in and out of Jerusalem, and he'd offered the love of God through his healing, through his preaching, through his forgiving. And people would take it in, but they wouldn't repent. Now, many did. Many followed him, of course, but they wouldn't follow him as a city. So Jesus has just said that to Herod by way of the Pharisees. And now we have a very poignant moment in the life and career of Jesus. It is a lament. Some people say it's the second time he weeps. He cries over the tomb and loss of Lazarus in John's gospel. But here he is lamenting Jerusalem, a city. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, and stoning those sent to you. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. A beautiful metaphor. Notice it is a feminine metaphor. Because I believe a hen is female. And here Jesus is wanting to gather. Now, this is something we, as the body of Christ, have a privilege and a duty to continue doing. And I see it all over the place here at Rockwood. You gather. You gather. You know each other. You pull things together. Let one of us have a celebration while we're all over that. Let one of us have a tragedy. We're all over that. We are standing lockstep with each other. It's beautiful to watch you do that. But did you know that runs quite a risk? And Jesus is experiencing that risk at this moment. I'll show you and bring it home to you. Have you ever loved someone and had that love thrown in your face? Have you ever loved and it wasn't returned? This is what happened to God through Jesus when he loved Jerusalem. He wanted to gather them, but they would not. So he simply washed his hands of them and said, all right, the house is yours. You're not going to see me again till Palm Sunday when you shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, or bless him in the name of the Lord. So what we have here is a tremendous example of ourselves, not just the outside with Jerusalem or us as a congregation, but now move it from outside examination to inside. This is the Lenten part of the passage. How often would you and I not accept the love of Christ and continue doing what we've always done? St. Paul points it out. He says, be careful. Some people's God is their belly. Anybody around here besides me that worships the belly? I confess. The only good thing I can say is that my knees still get wet when I shower. Isn't that impressive? But I face, and some of you do too, a very serious issue of worship. We talk about dieting, but most of us, including your preacher, has what's called a seafood diet. And you know very, very, very well what that diet is. I don't have to explain it to you. But as far as Lent is concerned, you and I need to wrestle with that one. Because we're caught with one foot on earth and the other one in heaven. We're caught not knowing which gear we're going to go into, and our vehicle stalls. Every summer, I see either a video or see it on our dock in front of the yard, in front of the lake. I see someone standing on the dock, and they're going to get in the boat, right? And so they put another foot on the boat, and the boat begins to drift apart. Do you know what's going to happen if somebody doesn't grab them quickly? I know. Splat. And that's how we are. Exactly. And this scripture is like we are Jerusalem. And we're hearing Jesus say, how often would I have gathered you, but you'd rather eat too much and hurt your body? This comes, it brings it down to when the preacher has quit preaching and started meddling. Because I am as guilty as sin and need to repent. And many of you do as well. Because Lent lets us examine not only Jerusalem, not only the Pharisees, not only Rockwood United Methodist, but lets us examine ourselves in our depth. And what are we going to do about it? Listen to God call us. I need you in your efficiency, not with what's left over. I need you in your efficiency to witness to me all over Rockwood and Roane County. I need you to be a shining example of what it is like for a member of the heavenly kingdom to live in the earthly kingdom for a time. Do people see Jesus in you and me, in us? That's our question. And that is our Lenten challenge. We have so much, don't we? We're given so much, and we can do even more for God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now we have heard through our different types of worship what God has given to all of us. Now let us give back to God our tithes and offerings so that we can glorify Him even as He has blessed us.
Thank you, O Lord, for the joy of our salvation and for giving us opportunities to work and to earn money. Accept this offering, your tithe, and our offerings to go along with your tithe, that we can further the work of this church and this church's ministry and mission throughout the world. Amen. The hymn is, O Jesus, I Have Promised. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer, or perhaps to join the fellowship of Rockwood United Methodist. If you would come as we sing this hymn, we'd be very pleased to receive your request. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you now and forever. Go in peace.